Hello. Greetings to all the participants of today's conference on the topic The Power of Images. The inclination of people's consciousness to create a virtual reality in fantasy and imagination is mercilessly exploited by the video game and movie industries, social media, marketing specialists in advertising, and by all kinds of mass media. Companies develop information products that not only bring them enormous profits of hundreds of billions of dollars a year, but also serve as a means of manipulating people's opinion, their attention, and behavior. This is a business that is interested in expanding its market and increasing profit, and therefore in increasing the number of constant consumers of their products. The most loyal customers are addicted users. Thus, in the consumer society, unfortunately, digital technology is often used with a manipulative purpose as habit and addiction-forming tools. As a result, a new category of mental disorders has appeared over the past two decades – virtual or information behavioral addictions. They include addiction to internet video games and gambling, social media, soap operas, porn content, impulse purchases on the internet, under the influence of advertising images, etc. To put it simply, we can group them under the term game addiction. The main peculiarity of information addiction is that, as a result of exposure to information, images without a drop of toxic substance, the heaviest psychological addiction is formed, which can destroy spiritual and intellectual potential of a person, destroy all his relationships and lead to personal degradation. And this addiction is not inferior in its malignancy, neither in its speed of development nor in its consequences, to alcohol and drug addictions, and in many aspects even surpasses them. There appears a pathological craving, thirst for the game, socializing in the social media, watching soap operas based on obsessive thoughts about the game in the form of bright three-dimensional pictures, images. For example, as for a game, a person imagines that he or she is playing or recalls it, or fantasizes about how he or she is continuing to play. At first, these thoughts are single and appear in the form of proposals, but if they are not traced and a person starts thinking in the proposed direction, then the player may surprisingly find himself already playing or hanging in the social media for more than the first hour or watching the end episode of the series. Actually, people certainly have no need for games or any other form of virtual activity. The game, like everything else, is offered as a way of fulfilling other selfish desires, mainly in confirmation of one's own significance, alpha significance, to be the dominant among one's own kind. A person gets involved in the virtual world for a short-term illusion of freedom from problems, competence, omnipotence, superiority, recognition, receiving attention and respect, the opportunity of quick and easy achievements, rewards, victories with minimum effort and responsibility. An unconscious imitation mechanism is involved for this. The player puts himself in the place of a movie character, a commercial, a game character or a fictitious image on the web, up to the complete fusion with it. In the game, I'm cool, even very cool, I'm good at everything, I'm not afraid of anything because everything can be replayed, I'm praised and respected, but in life I have only problems and all the time I'm wrong, all the time I'm scolded and taught, everything is forbidden all the time, I'm really good at anything. This is how a 9-year-old gamer answered the question about what attracts him in games. The next series of experiments shows that what we put our attention into is what we indeed become, in the literal physical meaning of this word. The state of consciousness of a player changes while playing the game. First, he gets lost in time, then he moves into the space of the game, and eventually he loses himself in an avataric self-identity. In the scientific literature, this is called game trance, dark flow, hypnosis, intoxication. This can be accompanied by the phenomenon of being out of body. At this moment, a person becomes fully suggestible and open to influence from the outside. His perception and self-perception can be completely substituted. Numerous studies on neuroimaging of the brain with MRI confirm the fact that the player perceives the virtual world as reality and himself, to a great extent, as a game character, an avatar, even when he's only thinking about the game. In examinations, we see this as a change in patterns of activity and morphology in the sensory cortex. These are the parts of the cerebral cortex connected with perception of the world around us, and an increased activity in the brain areas related to self-identification. When a person is playing or only imagining playing or recalling playing in comparison with activity in the same areas, when a person was talking about himself and his life out of play. During functional MRI, addicted social media users showed a greater surge in activity in the emotional areas of the brain. When they were talking about or acting on behalf of their online self, than when they were talking about themselves in normal life. This suggests that they are more attached to their virtual self and social reactions to it, likes, dislikes, and comments. The results of neurobiological studies are striking. They indicate the involvement of some outside force or entity in the maintenance of addiction. Let's call it game dominant, as its only intention is to draw a person into a game or other form of virtual activity and keep their attention there as long as possible. This entity or force is aimed at the maintaining and reinforcing addiction at all costs. It manifests itself through mental images provoking playing and emotions that can be positive or negative, depending on whether the person obeys its orders or not. Manifestations of game dominance are comparable to the manifestation of an alien parasitic program. It is not without reason that players say they become obsessed when they get involved in the game again. Game dominant, like an octopus or a fungus, subjugates human consciousness and reorganizes the work of all the structures of the brain. It is like the penetration of a virus into a computer. It literally hacks the instinct of human self-preservation and imposes self-destructive behavior. Numerous studies of the so-called reward system show it very well. This mechanism of primary consciousness is related to the instinct of self-preservation. It is designed to reinforce useful behavior and inhibit dangerous, useless, and destructive one. The parts of the brain that are involved in the processes of motivation, emotional response, reward and punishment processing, as well as reinforcement learning, are grouped under the term mesocortical limbic reward system. By the activity of these areas, we can objectively judge how the reward system works. So, in addicted players, the work of the reward system is completely distorted. There is the so-called pursuit of losses, which is an increase in playing behavior in spite of losses and negative consequences, a kind of self-sabotage. In the brain, we do not observe activation of the punishment system if they lose or have negative consequences. In other words, there is no inhibition of dangerous behavior. And when they win, we sometimes observe a surge, and sometimes we do not observe it, in the reward system. But we always observe a surge in the reward system with game incentives. For example, when a person is shown pictures or videos of a game, or he can play it himself, or he only imagines playing it. The only meaningful reward becomes the very opportunity of participation and continuing the game, and the only condition for a temporary, but at least some relief, from an internal emotional negative state. In the slides, you can see how the reward system of the brain is changing. This phenomenon cannot be explained by modern science. It can only be understood if one accepts the fact that consciousness is not only an information-filled phenomenon, but it is also aggressive towards humans as well as what can be manifested through it. In this case, from independence, it completely subjugates human personality and exploits it, meaning it fulfills its interests. It gets access to energy by drawing attention to the game or to the desire to play and fantasize about the game. It also prolongs its existence by forming a subpersonality out of the player in his lifetime. After all, while his attention is in the game, he does not live here, does not develop, does not reveal his inner potential, and invests his attention in reinforcing the selfish programs of consciousness. Agents of the illusion industry claim that it is a recreational activity, that a person relaxes during a game or other virtual activity. But it is not so. By going to the dark stream of the game, subjectively, the player does disconnect himself from problems by moving into the virtual world. But objective studies show that a person is in a state of strong emotional excitement, like under the influence of stimulants or stress, and a constantly playing player is in a state of chronic distress. He has increased levels of dopamine and stress hormones, cortisol, noradrenaline, adrenaline, vegetative indicators change. The brain of the addicted player changes, as in people with severe clinical depression or as a result of post-traumatic stress disorder. We also observe signs of exhaustion of the nervous system and decreased productivity of the intellect. The person feels like a squeezed lemon, completely devastated and exhausted with a loss of interest and desire to do anything. Investing attention in images of the virtual world leads to a huge loss of energy. Game addiction is an addiction to images. Images have no power. They can only entice, distract, persuade, but if we believe them, this way we give them power over us. We mustn't be callous with images. They can be dangerous and insidious, but a human is not an image or a thought. He is able to observe and ignore any thought and the brightest image. A human is able to shift his attention from virtual reality to developing real skills and qualities to become a hero of his life. The example of game addiction shows very well how attention to this or that information changes us. After all, game images and images of our mind, thoughts have the same physical nature. Yes, and objective studies show that MRI readings did not differ when a person was playing, imagining playing, or remembered playing. But when players get rid of game addiction, other healthy life activity, interest, relations returned, brain work changed, and the ability for kindness, compassion, and joy of life returned. In the creative society, information technology must and can be used for the development and learning, only for the benefit of people. Imagine how our world will change if the design and developing potential of game companies is implemented only for the benefit of society.